can have one of our scouts do the scripture reading today.
Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did anyone watch the State of the Union address on Tuesday night? It's okay if you didn't. I caught the highlights of it on Wednesday morning. And my big takeaway from this address is that 2019 has been a rough year to be a human. Between things like global warming, the longest government shutdown in history, an opioid epidemic that is growing exponentially every year. On top of all of that, a congressional investigation into presidential misconduct. There hasn't been a lot of good news lately. But on top of this bad news, we live in a country that has polarized views on literally everything related to the public good. So here I'm thinking about things like, what do we do about immigration? When and how and if abortion, is it ever okay? Should we have universal health care? Who's going to pay for it? Will there be Social Security when I retire 37 and a half years from now? What standards do we want to set for public education? What skills do our children need before they enter the workforce? And these are just the things that I could think of off the top of my head. The problem with these polarized views is it makes it almost impossible to pass legislation that is going to absolve or, at the very least, eliminate human suffering. Let alone have a civil conversation with friends or family members who hold views that are different from our own. Yet, while all of this is happening in our nation, we as a church gather on this ordinary Sunday in February to listen to this timeless story of Jesus calling his first disciple, Simon. In the midst of his everyday, ordinary life as a fisherman, Jesus invites Simon into a life that is going to be both risky and also rewarding. Ever since Jesus called his first disciple, generation after generation of women and men have responded to this same call, because they too have encountered the living God. And once they encountered God, they can do nothing else but follow him. I want to tell you a little bit about Simon. So as we hear in our scripture reading, Simon was a fisherman. And after a night of fruitless fishing, where he didn't catch a single fish on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus meets him. When Jesus encounters Simon, Simon has just docked his boat, and he's ready to call it a day. I imagine that Simon is probably pretty tired, a little bit hungry, and probably in need of a good shower when Jesus encounters him. Jesus tells him, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon, despite his tiredness and his frustration, obeys Jesus. "Master," Simon says, "we have worked all night long and have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." Because he obeys Jesus, Simon catches so many fish that his nets start to break. Simon now has a little bit of a problem. He realizes that he has encountered the living God, and he's scared. He tells Jesus, "Please go away from me, for I am a sinful man." But Jesus tells him, "Do not be afraid. From now on, I will make you a fisher of men." "Come and follow me," Jesus says. "I will teach you how to share this good news with others. For you were once a fisherman, but I am going to make you a fisher of men." This is the call of discipleship. Once we encounter the grace of God, we can do nothing else but drop everything and follow God into the unknown. Sure, we every day try to respond to this call by following God's commands, but we also are called to love the people that God loves, particularly the ones that we encounter in our daily lives. When Jesus tells Simon that he is called to fish for people, he means that Simon is called to accept that God is not always going to be found in the people and places that are most familiar to him. There's no denying that our God is a God of adventure, intrigue, and even a little bit of mystery. God cannot be contained by our attempts to understand God, and that usually means that we're going to be following him into some unexpected and perhaps confusing places. Also, this call of discipleship is going to expect some pretty big things of us. So often we will feel this call of discipleship when, like Simon, we have already given everything we have to give, and God asks us to give a little bit more. For example, Jesus finds Simon at the end of a long day of back-breaking labor, and he tells him to keep working. I don't know if you have heard the expression, "God doesn't give us more than we can handle," but I don't think that's true. I think God frequently gives us more than we can handle to teach us that we, in fact, can handle more than we think we can. like Simon, I believe that all disciples of Jesus are called to fish for people. One area where we might, as contemporary Christians, think about doing some fishing is in how we respond to this bad news that is happening all around us. 2019 has been a rough few weeks. Yes, it has only been 6 weeks in 2019. But I don't think the rest of this year has to be as unbearable as the first couple weeks. See, it is one of the reasons that these weeks have been rough is because a lot of things have happened that we have no control over. We can't control the weather. We can't really control the length of government shutdowns. And we can do some things to alleviate global warming, but in a lot of ways, we're part of a system that is bigger than us. And where Jesus kind of steps in is he says, yes, all of these things are happening, but I'm not asking you to fix all of these things. I am asking you to care for the people and places in your life and make them a little bit better by loving them. What Jesus is saying here is that if our discipleship never leaves the walls of this church, if it never challenges the powers that be, if it never works to alleviate human suffering, then really, what is the point? Simon Peter's call story challenges us to keep pushing, to keep following Jesus even when we're feeling tired or poor or sick. To offer all that we are and all that we will be to the one who did the same for us. We keep pushing in response to a God who never stops pushing for us. I truly believe that the rest of this year doesn't necessarily have to be as unbearable as the first few weeks have been. But I think that that is only true if we start taking a little bit more responsibility for one another. If all of us pick one aspect of our life together that we have both the energy and the skills to work on. Now, in case you are wondering, gee, what could that look like for me in my life? I have a couple examples to share with you. So if you are someone who likes to cook, I encourage you to find a family that has been negatively impacted by the government shutdown and see if maybe you can make them or send them a meal. If you're like me and you like to write, we have a holiday coming up this week that can be really challenging if you are single, divorced, separated, or widowed. I encourage you, go to the dollar store, find an appropriate Valentine's Day card, and send it to somebody who is going through a rough time this Valentine's Day. If you are someone who likes to build things, I encourage you to go to your favorite nonprofit in your community, whether that's a church, a school, a library, and see what they have on their wish list of things that they would love to do but have neither the skills or the money to complete. This doesn't have to be something elaborate. I know some churches that are waiting for someone to help them hang a poster board. I'm not saying you have to like build a handicap ramp here, but just asking and saying, you are important and I want to support you and how can I help is wonderful. Maybe you're retired and you find yourself with all this time on your hands. But I bet that there is one thing that you know so well, you can teach it to someone else. I encourage you to think, what is that one thing? And I challenge you to find someone who is under 30 and teach them that skill. Chances are they don't know how to do it, and they'll be really grateful that you spent some time with them. Finally, if you are someone who is passionate about social justice, but who maybe has trouble watching State of the Union addresses, I encourage you to maybe consider learning who your elected officials are, what causes they are fighting for, and maybe see if either you can work with them, or if they're doing something you disagree with, find a way, either write them a letter, call them. I know, calling people on the phone is scary, but sometimes you have to do it. And see if there is a way that you can connect with the causes they're passionate about. All right, the reason that I shared these examples is because the point of this story we shared today is that once we become disciples of Jesus, our lives are no longer primarily our own. Our stories are now tied up in this bigger story of salvation history with Jesus at the center. And following Jesus means giving ourselves in service to something that is bigger than just ourselves or our family or our communities. Like it or not, when we have agreed to follow Jesus, we have promised to do what we can to alleviate human suffering in whatever particular form that takes in our context. I'm actually really excited to see what the rest of this year is going to bring, because I do think that we are capable of making our communities, our families, and even our lives more bearable. And we do this in response to the grace of God that makes our lives more bearable than we could ever imagine. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.